Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 7th. Study says airspace corridor is feasible. MDC looks to next step after research shows space can accommodate high-speed missions. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Midland Development Corporation got some encouraging news as it delves further into developing an aerospace industry out of Midland International Airport. A recently completed study commissioned by the MDC and prepared by Kimley Horn on the feasibility of a high-speed airspace corridor out of Midland International found such a corridor is feasible. An initial study conducted in February 2020 investigated the extension of existing Part 420 licensed flight corridors at the spaceport, and one of the recommendations from that study was to refine a preferred corridor option. The just-released study focused on one option identified in the first study as a high-speed airspace corridor capable of accommodating a variety of high-speed missions to include subsonic, supersonic, hypersonic, and point-to-point suborbital missions. The study looked at possible airspace for a corridor and its possible use for testing, given commercial and military use, explained Sarah Harris, MDC Executive Director. There are times and space available, she said, but there remains questions to be answered. Now, Harris told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview, the MDC will be seeking funding for the next phase, which will include defining how authorization from Federal Aviation Administration stakeholders and the military would be received. Harris said the MDC will be looking for grants to fund this next study, which she said will initially cost about $500,000. Quote, this has national implications for research, so it should be supported by other organizations besides the City of Midland, she stated. The MDC will be looking at federal funding in particular, Harris said, because President Joe Biden's just-released budget contains potential funds. With several aerospace companies having already set up shop in the Spaceport Business Park near Midland International and more looking at the area, Harris said it is a very exciting field and one that has a lot of far-reaching implications. In its recommendations at the end of the study, Kimley Horn recommended the MDC continue working with stakeholders from original equipment manufacturers to the military to FAA stakeholders, quote, to continue the conversation for mission and airspace planning as commercial space operations continue to develop into the future and at Midland International specifically, end quote. Talk offers connection to airpark community. Officials say decision to not close airport a relief for those involved. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The push to connect the Midland community with pilots and other operators at airpark included a meeting Tuesday evening. City officials, pilots, and others interested talked about improvements slated for Air Park, the executive airport located in North Midland. It was also an opportunity for city leaders, including at-large Councilwoman Robin Poole, to pitch ideas to bring those who use the airport closer with the community as a whole. Still, those who attended the event also said pilots and other users of the airports were relieved that moving forward, there won't be discussion about closing airpark and moving those executive airport operations to Midland International Airport. Quote, I got the impression they are glad that part of it is over, said Justine Ruff, director of airports for the City of Midland. Vicky Hurt was one of the leaders of the effort to defeat the airpark move, She said that the FAA was likely sick and tired of the issue coming up repeatedly. She added that she expects Midland will have a better relationship with the FAA and the Texas Department of Transportation as a result. Quote, "They get tired of Midland coming back every few years," Hurt told a reported telegram. Pilots and other airport enthusiasts learned about changes coming to Air Park. They include improvements to the entrance at Air Park. Currently, the road is prone to flooding that gets so bad that it is impossible to pass through when it rains. Fencing improvements along the west and north sides of the airport. Infrastructure improvements to taxiways and utilities that will allow plane owners to build their hangars on leased land. Officials said there is a 5-year wait for hangar space at Air Park. This will help, and when the lease period ends, the hangars become property of the City of Midland. A similar project took place in 2012 at Midland International, Ruff said. The meeting also was important as it provided an opportunity for pilots and others to talk with city officials about the possibilities at Air Park. Poole provided the Reporter-Telegram with an opinion article in Wednesday's edition about changes that can be made to improve the connection between Air Park officials and the community in general. Poole said that was talked about Tuesday night, and pilots learned about what will and can happen. There will be a fly-in to the summer event in May, where families can come to Air Park and experience the aviation world up close. Poole said that the day will include food trucks, short discovery flight opportunities, and educational experiences. She also talked about the idea of more business around the executive airport, including a restaurant where people could watch planes take off and land. Communities like the Dallas suburb of Addison also were mentioned as places where an executive airport was a bigger part of the quality of place. Air Park is more than a place, quote, where wealthy individuals have expensive hobbies, Poole said. Midland has an aviation history, and Ruff said connecting more people to aviation could help with the worldwide shortage of pilots and aircraft mechanics that is expected. Hurt said Midlanders probably lost sight of the commerce that Air Park is responsible for, and that fly-ins and other events will allow more people to get an educational experience that is valuable. Hurt added she was pleased with the turnout Tuesday and that good suggestions were offered. Quote, "They have been motivated for something to happen for a long time," Poole said, "but no one asked them before. Their take was, let's get this going and do it," end quote. Business buzz. La Bodega celebrates 50 years of service. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Owning and successfully operating a restaurant is challenging, as illustrated by the bones of numerous closed eateries that have dotted the Midland landscape. To successfully operate a restaurant for 50 years is a rare feat, and one just celebrated by La Bodega. The Mexican restaurant, located at 2700 North Big Spring Street, was founded by Austrian transplant Alois Munzer in 1972 with the support of investors. Munzer died in 2010. The restaurant celebrated its golden anniversary in late March with live music from mariachis and margaritas. The secret to La Bodega's long life is consistency, according to Margarita Morales, restaurant owner. She said one of the cooks has been with the restaurant since it opened in 1972, and another has been with the restaurant since the 1980s. Such consistency is very important to a business, she said. Another reason could be the uniqueness of some of the recipes, said Morales, who has worked at La Bodega for about 25 years. Quote, "Our chili rellenos, no one else has raisins and pecans like we do," end quote. And no, she said, they don't experiment with the recipes. They remain the same as when the restaurant opened. That consistency is seen in the customers, she added, noting that some who started dining at La Bodega when it opened are now being joined by their children and grandchildren. While their customers have supported the restaurant through the economic turbulence stirred up by the cyclical nature of Midland's oil and gas industry, they also supported the restaurant during one of the most challenging periods ever, the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, "We shut down on March 13, 2020. We shut down for 3 weeks," said Morales. During that time, the restaurant was reconfigured to account for social distancing and then reopened for curbside service. In January, she said the restaurant had to raise its menu prices in order to cope with rising inflation. Quote, "It's what you have to do to be here, to survive," she explained. Even restaurants that made it through the pandemic are coping with staffing shortages. That's why Morales said La Bodega is developing the next generation of staff. Quote, "My son and grandson work here," she said. "One of the cooks has a son here. One of the server's daughters works here. So that's the next generation," end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Community Roundup. Bob Woodward at Midland College. The Midland College Davidson Distinguished Lecture Series will present legendary journalist and novelist Bob Woodward at 7 p.m. Thursday. This is a free event to be held at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center. Tickets are not required for general admission seating. A portion of Mr. Woodward's presentation will be to answer questions from Becky Ferguson and the Midland community. Bob Woodward's books are now available at the Midland College Bookstore and will also be available for sale at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center Thursday evening. Chuck Wagon Gang Fundraiser. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Odessa Chuck Wagon Gang will hold a fundraiser lunch to raise money for Eastland Complex fire victims and the Midland County Sheriff's Office Mounted Patrol on Friday. It will be a come-and-go event from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Fannin Terrace Baptist Church in Midland. This fundraiser, in partnership with the Chuck Wagon Gang, will benefit the Eastland community and ensure that the Mounted Patrol will have the resources and means to respond during the next disaster, like the Eastland Complex fires. Midland Meat Company donated the meat and fixings for this event. Each plate will come with a choice of a burger or cheeseburger, beans, chips, and a drink for $10. Midland Head for the Cure 5K. The fourth annual Midland Head for the Cure 5K run and walk is set for 9 a.m. Saturday at Midland College. Funds raised from this event locally benefit vital brain cancer programs at the Midland Memorial Foundation within Midland Health and other national brain cancer research programs, education, and initiatives. The race fee is $42. Kids Fun Run, $25, and virtual registration, $32, are available. Register at www.headforthecure.org/Midland. Hops and Props. The Hops and Props fundraiser is coming back for the 14th year at the Commemorative Air Force, CAF, High Sky Hangar. The event will be from 7 to 10:30 p.m. April 9th at 9600 Wright Drive. The event will feature more than 50 different beers, sample appetizers from area restaurants, and live music at the hangar, where attendees will be surrounded by vintage aircraft. The fundraiser event benefits the CAF High Sky Wing and the Midland Army Air Field Museum. General admission tickets are $40 in advance or $50 at the door, and will include unlimited beer samples, appetizers, and a commemorative glass. Designated driver. Non-drinking tickets are $20 and will include appetizers, soft drinks, and water. Redneck Roundup Car and Truck Show. Redneck Metal Buildings is hosting its second annual Redneck Roundup Car and Truck Show on Saturday. The event will take place from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at 2931 I-20 North Service Road in Stanton. Officials expect 400 cars to register and participate. All proceeds from this event will go directly to Gifts of Hope that will fund services to benefit cancer patients, such as medical costs, transportation, meals, and prescriptions. To register and learn more about the Redneck Roundup Car Show, please visit www.redneckroundupcarandtruckshow.com. Events. Bookworms and Beverages with Stephen Harrigan, 5:30 p.m. Friday at Museum of the Southwest. BPW Bunko, 6 p.m. Friday at Ranchland Hills Golf Course. Arts of the Heart Spring Sale, Friday and Saturday at 907 West Wadley. Texas Rain, 7 p.m. Friday at the Destination Midland. Daddy's Dyin', Who's Got the Will by the Mavericks Players, 7:30 p.m., April 8th through 11th, April 15th and 16th, at 409 Veterans Air Park Lane. Call 432-260-0044 for reservations. Luis R. Conriquez, Los Higueros del Arroyo, Luis Sanchez, Adolfo Urias y los Marineros del Norte, 8 p.m. Friday at La Hacienda Event Center. Head for the Cure 5K, 9 a.m. Saturday at Midland College. Basin Book Festival, 9:30 a.m. Saturday at Museum of the Southwest. Midland Children's Business Fair, 10 a.m. Saturday at 2908 North La Mesa Road. Crawfish Cook-Off, special guest Stale Cracker, noon to midnight Saturday at the Tailgate. Purple Piano, the one-man tribute to Prince, 7 p.m. Saturday at the Ector Theater. High Sky Wing Hops and Props 2022, 7 p.m. Saturday at the High Sky Wing. Tchaikovsky 4, 7:30 p.m. Saturday with the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. MSS Benefit Dinner, 7 p.m. April 11th at Opal's Table. Pink the Basin Luncheon featuring Leanne Morgan, April 12th at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Authors at the Ector, Kathy Valentine, The Go-Go's, 7 p.m. April 14th at the Ector Theater. Midland Market Spring Spectacular, April 15th and 16th at the Horseshoe. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m., April 16th at West Texas Food Bank. Easter Egg Hunt, 11 a.m., April 16th at Lions Club Park. Aladdin and the Magic Carpet, 7:30 p.m., April 16th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Midland's Largest Easter Egg Hunt, 2:30 p.m., April 17th, at 100 North Colorado. 2022 State of Midland, 11 a.m., April 20th, at Midland County Horseshoe. Foreigner, 8 p.m., April 20th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. 9th Annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser, April 21st and 22nd, at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays. Taste of the Permian Basin, 6:30 p.m., April 21st, at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Golf for the Green, 7:30 a.m., April 22nd, at Nueva Vista Golf Course. Downtown Art Tour, 6 p.m., April 22nd, at the Odessa Marriott. Jerry Hart and Flatland, 7 p.m., April 22nd, at the Destination Midland. The Bachelor Live on Stage Official Tour, 7:30 p.m., April 22nd, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Cher Autism Walk, 9:30 a.m., April 23rd, at Grande Communications Stadium. Where the Wild Things Run, 5K Beer Run, 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., April 23rd, at the Sibley Nature Center. Northside Lions Club, 29th Annual We Serve Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m., April 30th, at Midland Park Mall. Night to Remember. Standing ovation follows MOSC concert. By Georgia Temple. Hope for the Living, a concert of remembrance, performed by the 30-member Midland Odessa Symphony Chorale on April 2nd, was a night to remember. Conducted by Gershom Garcia, the program featured a mix of classical works and modern selections, opening with Gregorio Allegri's Miserere and closing with Will Todd's A Celtic Blessing. Joseph Fierro sang the haunting tenor chant in Miserere. Outstanding solos were performed by chorale members Francis Martinez, Rachel Holder, Ashley Skinner, Christian Garrett, and Julie Wood. Also well-received was the performance of Eric Essenwald's My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose, featuring Lindsay Elbert on flute and soloists Josiah Garcia, Martinez, and Charlie Correa. The sold-out concert at the Ray Greathouse Recital Hall at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center featured a children's choir, Voices of the Permian Basin. Directed by Emily Baker, Voices' memorable performance featured a solo by Keller Baker. The chorale was accompanied by members of the Midland Odessa Symphony. Near the close of the program, Wood's spirited rendition of Albert E. Brumley's I'll Fly Away electrified the recital hall. A well-earned standing ovation closed the performance. Former Reporter-Telegram arts editor Georgia Temple offered this review from the MOSC event last weekend.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the MRT, Midland Reporter-Telegram, for Tuesday, April 5th, 2022, education section. Midland College Honor Society picked as top Texas chapter. New members inducted into the ceremony held on March 28th. During the Texas State Phi Theta Kappa Conference held in early March, the Texas region, honored Midland College's Alpha Beta Phi chapter as one of the top five chapters in Texas. PTK, Texas region, also named the chapter as one of the top three chapters chosen for its honors in Action Research Project, Expressions of Truth, which included videos of employees and students telling their legacy stories, how education has played a part in their lives and those in their families. In addition, the Texas region awarded the MC's College Project as one of the top 20 chapter projects. Also, Midland College Chapter President Hina Patel was named one of the top 30 outstanding chapter officers in the state. Chapter member Zeta Kadir was elected District 1 Vice President for the 2022-23 academic year. This was the second year in a row that someone from Midland College has been elected. Currently, MC student Caleb Guilando is serving in that position. The Texas region presented the PTK Horizon Award to MC Government Professor and Honors Program Director Terry Gilmore, who also serves as Chapter Advisor. Renee Aldrin, Early College High School at Midland College Chancellor, was added to the Hall of Honor for college administrators. Locally, on March 28th, Midland College inducted 58 members into the Alpha Beta Phi chapter of PTK at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center. Phi Theta Kappa is the oldest, largest, and most prestigious honor society servicing two-year colleges around the world. The international organization is composed of over 1,400 chapters. Membership is based on superior academic achievements and is conferred only by invitation to students who have a minimum 3.5 grade point average. MISD 22-23 enrollment period is now open. Enrollment is now open for families planning to attend Midland ISD for the 2022-23 school year. The school district announced this week that the enrollment period is for all students, including those applying for pre-K or starting kindergarten, new students to MISD, and all returning students. Even students returning to the same campus must re-enroll using their Skyward Family Access account, the district reported in a news release. All families are invited to get started by visiting midland.net/welcome. The site serves as a portal to our enrollment and application tools for students and families at all levels, and has been designed with families in mind to make the enrollment process as easy as possible. Our enrollment website includes step-by-step instructions on how to enroll using Skyward, said Aaron Villarreal. If parents have additional questions, representatives at their campus can guide them through the process, or they can contact us by email at familyaccesshelp@midlandisd.net. Parents who are not sure which campus their child will attend can use the School Finder tool, which can be found at the Apply Midland portal at midland.net/apply. Apply Midland is also the place to find information about all the district's schools. Parents should also be reminded that the second application window is now open for schools of choice, and parents can apply at midland.net/apply. Midland ISD will also hold a kindergarten roundup for parents sending their students to school for the first time. More information will be released in the coming weeks.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, April 7th. Longtime Midland resident Carla Jo Ford, also known as Carla Rodriguez, passed away on March 28th after a lengthy illness. Carla, age 73, was born in Seminole, Texas, to William Maurice and Doris Mildred Ford. She was preceded in death by her parents and her sister, Tamara Ford Peters. She is survived by her sister and brother-in-law, Karen and Greg Scott, her nephew, Jason Peters, her nieces, Kathleen Peters and Merritt Scott, and her ex-husband, Antonio J. Rodriguez. Carla Pirelli served her country as a servicewoman in the United States Army. An informal graveside service will be held at the Rest Haven Memorial Cemetery in Midland on Friday, April 8th at 11 a.m. Services are under the direction of Jackie Warren Funeral Home in Midland. Jane E. McKinney, a longtime resident of Westminster in Austin, died on March 22nd. Jane McKinney was born to Julian and Nesta Mae Smith Esminger on the family farm in Hendricks County, Indiana, on May 22, 1924. The family moved to Texas in 1946 to Corsicana, then to Garland in 1947, and then to Midland in 1964. Jane later moved to Westminster in Austin in 2008 to be near her family. Jane is preceded in death by her parents, her husband in 1995, and both sisters, Lois E. Etienne, Josephine E. McFerrin. She is survived by two sons, Ernest McKinney and his wife Phyllis Warren of Austin, and Edward McKinney and wife Susan McKinney of Miami, Florida, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There will be a graveside service on April 9th at 9 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Memorials may be sent to West Texas Boys Ranch in San Angelo, Texas, 76904, or a charity of your choice. Johnny Gill was born in San Angelo on June 17, 1964. Shortly after birth, he and his family moved to Houston, where he attended elementary school for a short period of time. Later moving to Midland, Johnny finished his school life, graduating from Midland High School in 1984. He passed away on March 25th in Midland. He is preceded in death by his father, Johnny Lee Gill Sr., mother Paula Dolores Gill Thompson, and grandmother Rosetta Moore. He leaves to cherish in his memory grandfather Howard Moore, two sisters, Jeanette Harris, Rochelle Williams, one brother, Andre Gill, one aunt, Clarissa Tabers, and one uncle, Clarence Gibson. A memorial will be held in honor of Jody on April 9th at 1 p.m. at Mount Moriah, 701 South Calhoun Street in Midland. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos, Sanchez, and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Mary Elizabeth Tinkler Copeland Elliott, age 80, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, April 5th, at her home. A visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday, April 7th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, April 8th, at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Both are located in Midland. Mary was born August 8, 1941, in Fort Stockton, Texas, to Emerson Tink Tinkler and Effie Mae Courtney Tinkler. She attended Fort Stockton schools and loved attending class reunions and keeping in touch with classmates. Mary is preceded in death by her parents and by her brother Jim Tinkler of Fort Stockton. Jim passed away 48 hours before Mary, and an infant grandchild. She is survived by all her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Also surviving her is her sweetheart, Rudy Smittak, of Fort Stockton. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Christopher Bledsoe, age 42, of Midland, passed away April 2nd. Celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 13th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Eufrasia Castillo Nanez, age 94, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, April 5th. Private services will be held. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Geraldine Freeland, also known as Jerry Freeland, age 94, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, April 3rd. The family will receive friends on Thursday, April 7th, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Willowbrook Funeral Home, 1311 West Florida Avenue in Midland. Graveside services will be held at 3 p.m. on Friday, April 8th, at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery in Midland, with Ryan Hamilton officiating. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Celebration of Life for Martha H. Poss. Please join us on April 9th at the First Christian Church in Midland at 2 p.m. Reception will follow in the Fellowship Hall. Richard Preston Owens, age 96, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 5th in Odessa. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. April 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Don Weeks is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Odessan gets 10 years in co-worker's murder. An Odessa man was sentenced to 10 years in prison Wednesday afternoon after being convicted of murder in the February 2021 death of a 38-year-old co-worker. It took a jury in the 161st District Court of Ector County 3 hours to convict Clinton Saunders, 37, of murder in the death of Mario Castillo, and 40 minutes to render its sentence. According to authorities, Saunders and Castillo worked together at Love's truck stop, and the evening before the shooting, the two decided to go to the Red Zone bar after having spent some time working on Castillo's shed and car together. The two men argued at the bar, and the fight escalated on the way back to Castillo's home, where Saunders had left his vehicle. Castillo was shot 7 times, including twice in the heart, outside his residence in the 1000 block of East 90th Street. Defense attorney Scott Lay told jurors during closing arguments Castillo pummeled Saunders for 7 minutes, and Saunders feared for his life when he shot Castillo, who was known to own guns and carry a knife. Jurors were shown a surveillance video that shows Castillo picked up a hat on the passenger side of Saunders' vehicle and walked out of view toward the driver's side of the vehicle. 7 shots ring out several seconds later, and then Saunders is seen picking his eyeglasses off the ground near where the hat was and driving away from the scene, Castillo's body crumpled on the ground. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Henry Eccles told jurors during closing arguments the fight was over when Castillo was shot to death and suggested he'd approach Saunders with Saunders' hat as a peace offering. Saunders could have just driven away, he said. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this was not a self-defense case. This was an execution, he said. Lay reminded jurors that during the trial, they heard testimony that Castillo was feared by his co-workers. He was charged with assaulting one of his co-workers in 2016 and entered into a pre-trial intervention program as a result. After being beaten by Castillo, his client looked like Rocky or Apollo Creed from the movies, Lay said. Knowing he'd had a knife on him earlier at the bar and knowing he owned guns, Saunders felt his life was in danger, he said. The fight was over? Come on, it was a peace offering. Come on, Lay said. Who in their right mind is going to believe that? Castillo was going to be a nice guy now? Castillo was still moving after being shot the first time, and he could just as easily have fired at Saunders from the ground as while he was standing, Lay said. He acted to save his life, Lay said, of his client. Assistant Ector County Attorney Scott Turner told jurors the version of events Saunders gave them from the stand was not to be believed. He never told 911 dispatchers he thought Castillo was armed, nor did he ever tell police he knew about the earlier incidences involving Castillo. He suggested Saunders added spice to the stew after a year of having time to consider his story. He wanted you to believe the parts that helped him and not the parts that don't, Turner said. During closing arguments in the sentencing portion of the trial, Lay asked the jury to show mercy and grace to his client, saying Saunders is a good man who tried to help people his entire life, including Castillo. Lay asked the jury to find that Saunders was overcome by sudden passion and was therefore incapable of reflecting upon his actions. Murder defendants who are overcome by sudden passion are eligible for a prison sentence of 2 to 20 rather than the typical sentence of 5 to 99 years or life in prison. The defense attorney told the jury he thought 2-year sentence was appropriate. Saunders told Castillo's family and the jury he wanted to apologize, calling it an unfortunate situation I wish I could have avoided. Turner told the jurors he wasn't going to recommend a sentence, but said a 2-year sentence would be a slap in the face. He said the murder may have been the result of passion, but it wasn't sudden. Unlike Saunders, the Castillo family will never have a chance at parole, Turner pointed out. Turner also expressed outrage at Saunders' attempt at an apology. It didn't just happen. He made it happen. He did it to Mario, Turner said. As for mercy, Turner told the jurors that all of the mercy Saunders showed Castillo was shown on the video. The victim's father, Mario Castillo Sr., told Saunders he didn't think 10 years was a long enough sentence and expressed his hope that his actions will haunt him the rest of his life. Not only did Saunders steal his son from him, but he stole his peace of mind, Castillo said. There's not a single day I don't think of him and the way he died, he said. Denise Delgado, the victim's sister, told Saunders he robbed his brother's future from him, and he also robbed their entire family. Her brother left behind a wife, parents, and 4 sisters. She said she hopes Saunders has been robbed of his peace and happiness, too. Panther Paws make mark on national contest. When Permian High School's Panther Paws varsity and JV teams converged on Denton for the American Dance Drill Team Nationals, they drove for the best and took some top honors. A total of 33 dancers on varsity and JV participated, said Kristen Carter, director of the Permian Dance Program and Panther Paws dance coach. It was the first time in 12 years that the varsity had returned to the American Dance Drill Team Nationals and the first time ever for the JV, Carter said. I thought it was great. We were thrilled with the results and our girls did amazingly in every single dance. Both teams performed to the best of their ability and having fun and being proud of themselves. As a coach, my favorite moment is watching them come off the floor, knowing that they did their absolute best, regardless of what place they get or what anyone thinks, Carter said. I just love seeing the smiles on their faces when they know that you just did the best they could have done. This is a really special team this year. They have a really unique bond, and so it's been fun to watch them grow together and just do so well at a competition that we haven't been able to do in so many years. It was neat to see the successes that they attained at the competition, she added. A desire to try something different was one of the reasons the team went back to this competition. We've been doing crowd pleasers for so many years. We just wanted to try something new, she said. The squad is currently practicing for the Spring Black Magic show. We're working on choreography, and that's kind of a tradition that started a couple of years ago, Carter said. The Panther Paws are fully a part of this show. It's super fun, so that's what we're working on today. A lot of routines. They'll help choreograph. It's really neat. These girls will get experience with choreographing themes because it's kind of a project for them, so it's neat to collaborate with another program in the school. Carter said the girls' effort was more about having a somewhat normal school year than not being able to do things the past couple of years. Like I said, they're a special team. They really enjoy each other's company, and I think it's just nice to go back to somewhat normalcy. Even though we faced a few things this year with people being sick and quarantined, I think we're all just excited to have something normal. So competition was great. It was like a breath of fresh air. It was normal and we had so much fun, she added. Seniors Emily Easley, 18, Brooklyn Veith, 17, Victoria Sickles, 18, and Maddie Ramirez, 18, felt they did really well at competition. I think we did really good for going into the competition, not really knowing what to expect or what to do. I'm really proud of us and what we accomplished as a team, Ramirez said. Easley said the other teams were really good. It was just different from what we're used to because it was more like a drill team competition rather than a dance team competition, Easley added. The Panther Paws routines were more dance than drill, they said. Sickles said it was great to come away with a contest with top honors because we knew that when we left the floor and everyone gave 100% input into the routine, so we all felt really good coming off and knew that we did our best, Sickles added. Beth said you can see the bond the team has when they perform because when a team doesn't bond as well, it shows in their performances. But I'm so thankful for the team that we have this year, Veith added. I couldn't have asked for a better team for my senior year. They all said they plan to stay in touch after they finish high school. Kayla Garza is the assistant director and in charge of the JV. Garza echoed Carter, saying her girls did very well. For just half of JV, it was their first time competing. The other half are returners. With that team, they are actually a team that cares about each other. They work well together and they're best friends. So I think having that friendship helps out a lot on the dance floor, Garza added. Permian High School Varsity Panther Paws, second place overall champions for small team. Second place team hip hop. Second place team contemporary. Third place team jazz. Second place team novelty. Second place team palm. Second place medium ensemble. They also had two solo finalists, second place Maddie Ramirez and sixth place Emery Ruiz. Permian High School Junior Varsity JV Panther Paws. Second place overall champions in the JV division, first place champions team hip hop tie, first place champions team contemporary, first place champions JV small ensemble. Local law enforcement starts Pinwheel Gardens. ECSO OPD partner with Harmony Home for National Child Abuse Prevention Month. To kick off April, the Ector County Sheriff's Office and the Odessa Police Department have each started a Pinwheel Garden to bring attention to National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Local law enforcement has partnered with the Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center to bring awareness to this nationwide problem. OPD Chief Michael Gerke said it will take a community effort to stamp out child abuse, and the Pinwheel Gardens help remind the public those actions take place. If we are going to call ourselves a community that cares about children, it's everyone's responsibility to help in child abuse, he said. If we could bring those numbers down, that would be great. Each one that doesn't happen is a success. Each one that happens is a tragedy. It's a community effort. Harmony Home Prevention Director Amanda Allen explained the reasoning behind the pinwheel. The pinwheel itself represents the bright future that children deserve, Allen said. The public is invited to add to the pinwheel garden of ECSO and OPD. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said people are welcome to bring 1 or 10 pinwheels. Gerke agreed with Griffith's statement. Harmony Home also welcomes people to plant pinwheels in their front yards. In addition to the pinwheels, Allen also encourages people to wear blue throughout the month of National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Harmony Home will close out National Child Abuse Prevention Month with a party in the parking lot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. April 30th at the Odessa Downtown Lions Club parking lot located at 1101 Whitaker Avenue. I encourage the public to wear blue as much as they can all month long, Allen said. If people ask why they are wearing so much blue, we want them to say it's Child Abuse Awareness Month, and it's something that we all need to be talking about. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said law enforcement keeps in close contact with Harmony Home throughout the year. He applauds the work that Harmony Home that is able to do on a daily basis by helping children who have been sexually, physically, or emotionally abused or neglected. Harmony Home serves more than 600 children every year. Harmony Home's purpose is to minimize the trauma of child abuse through multidisciplinary team investigation, prosecution, and treatment. Harmony Home is an agency that is invaluable to all of law enforcement, Griffiths said. We couldn't do what we do effectively without all of those good people at Harmony Home. They are fantastic. We are happy to bring awareness to child abuse and to Harmony Home.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, April 2, 2022. Viewpoints. Aphasia, a devastating reality for many. Willis's diagnosis spreading awareness for disorder affecting millions of Americans. By Aphasia Center, West Texas. All of us at the Aphasia Center, West Texas, ACWT, are saddened for Bruce Willis and his loved ones. On Wednesday, his family announced the actor is leaving his career due to his recent diagnosis of aphasia. To some, aphasia is a newly learned term, but for 2.4 million to 4 million Americans coping with aphasia, according to a 2018 report, Aphasia in North America, a comprehensive report on incidence, causes, and impact. It's a devastating and chronic reality. According to Aphasia Access, a national professional association launched with help from ACWT, approximately every 4 minutes in the U.S., someone acquires aphasia, a devastating language disorder dramatically impacting conversational interaction, talking, and understanding, as well as the ability to read and write. ACWT Program Director Beth Crawford, MSCCC-SLP, states, aphasia is always due to brain injury. It's often suddenly acquired by stroke, but may also arise from head trauma, infection, or more slowly in the case of brain tumor or primary progressive aphasia, a neurodegenerative disease. No matter the type of aphasia, loss of language is traumatic. So, what does aphasia mean for West Texans? Since 2003, the Aphasia Center of West Texas has been spreading our mission to improve the quality of life for individuals and families living with aphasia by overcoming communication barriers at home and in our communities. We promote awareness and understanding of aphasia, and we offer innovative weekly services for people coping with aphasia. Our goal is to help individuals and those important to them connect, communicate, and live well in spite of aphasia. Our services are based on the Holistic Life Participation Approach to Aphasia, or LPAA. According to the Aphasia Access website, LPAA was created because loneliness, social isolation, depression, and lack of participation in interactions and activities of choice continue to be significant problems for people living with aphasia. The person-centered LPAA helps re-engage the person in activities, that are important to them, regardless of their expressive or receptive language challenges. Aphasia doesn't just touch the individual diagnosed. At the Aphasia Center, we know the monumental ripple effect aphasia can cause, putting every relationship at risk for misjudgment and misunderstanding. Family and friend groups are offered, geared toward education and support for loved ones to lean on and learn from one another through their shared experiences. Through a FMH Foundation-funded partnership with Centers for Children and Families, aphasia-trained counselors are also available. Aphasia is a devastating and life-altering disorder, but it's not the end. At the Aphasia Center of West Texas, our interventions and groups inspire hope, determination, and resilience in the people we serve. And we believe in the individuals that come through our doors because they are fighters. After all, they know more than they can say. If you or someone you know is affected by aphasia, the Aphasia Center of West Texas is here to help. Learn more at www.aphasiawtx.org or call 432-699-1261.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.